Introducing the new low-fat Subway Buffalo Chicken. Spicy chicken, cool light ranch, one hot sandwich. All the flavor you love with 7 grams of fat. For a limited time, hurry to Subway and enjoy the newest part of a Subway Fresh Fit meal. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report, Monday morning here on the West Coast. I'm still fired up, just in a bad mood in general. A lot of stuff sticking in my craw right now. Cousin Sal, our weekly guest. We picked the Lions. He's on the Subway Fresh Take hotline right now. Bill Belichick, give me an unbiased. Actually, you don't like Belichick, so this might not be that unbiased. But
no, it's gonna be pretty biased. But I think I'm gonna say everything that you want to say.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel bad about that.
Go ahead.
I think it comes down to three words. He deserves it. He really does. After all these years of, you know, trying to outdo his arrogance, and he looks from an outsider, doesn't it look like he looks for new ways to outdo his blatant arrogance? And I don't know. He just reminds me of Kanye West, and he took it to a new level, and it bit him on the ass, and now he can go cry on Leno's couch. He's a big bully, and he deserves it. That's basically it. I don't know.
That's pretty interesting. I was obviously horrified. I got to say, I thought the game was over. In the fourth quarter, I was reading a magazine. It was 34-17. I was just assumed that every time we got the ball, we were going to score.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Colts drove down pretty quickly, and Garcon finally made a catch. But still, you know, we had the ball 34-21, 7.5 minutes left after an interception in Colts territory. They hadn't stopped us the whole game. Game should be over, you know?
Absolutely.
And or it was 31-21, I'm sorry. And then somehow don't punch it in, get the field goal, 34-21. And then they just rolled down the field. They got a really bad pass interference penalty.
Yeah, that was bad.
That NBC did not replay.
That was Colley, right?
Colley over the middle. Pass was over his head. He wasn't going to catch it. Put up like a half-hearted effort for it anyway. He hadn't made a catch all game in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the 30-yard pass interference penalty that the announcers were perplexed by, but then NBC didn't show it.
Right.
So that was interesting. At least show me the replay if you're going to keep a drive alive with a 30-yard pass.
Right.
So then they score. And then basically the Pats had third and two chances to get 2 yards. They had 450 total yards and couldn't get 2 yards. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
But then the play they ran was a 2 yard out to your third down running back.
Yeah. Like, let me just ask you this. When they came to the line, did you think – it seemed to me, it's like, wow, this is weird. I really just didn't think they were going to snap it. But then I was thinking, this is a silly thing to waste a timeout over if they're just going to try to draw them off sides. Did you think for sure they were snapping it when they came out of the huddle? Or?
No, I never, ever thought they were snapping it. I thought this was some sort of weird Belichick mind game of maybe they had something in up their sleeve for getting somebody to jump off sides or something, or maybe they're trying to get the Colts to waste a timeout before the drive started, something like that. The last 5 minutes was an apocalypse of coaching and clock management.
Yeah.
I mean, I make fun of Andy Reid all the time. This was much worse than anything I've ever seen Andy Reid do. The whole thing. I mean, what about we had the ball at 2:23, you know, up 6, and we call a timeout before first down. How do
right.
you call a timeout after kickoff and a TV timeout?
And that killed you because then you couldn't review the spot. I don't know if it would have been overturned anyway, but you didn't have enough
time. Yeah, do we get that? I mean, at the very least, we can agree he had the ball over the 30-yard line, right?
I think so. I thought they would be arguing more furiously if it was that cut and dry. But here's the problem with it. Like, it's going on fourth and two that deep in your own territory is a bad move anyway. But the last pass, the pass before that, which seemed to be the same route, should have been a pick six.
Yeah.
You know, Gerard Powers, like, really could have, you know, that would have been it. So, like, how confident are you that you're gonna complete that? And it just
they were hard. Well, it's like the same thing that we have when we complain about the fade patterns in the
right.
end zone. you don't want to run your high degree of difficulty plays when you need 2 yards.
No.
First of all, Welker's going to get open the whole game. You have Moss that they're double teaming. Mm-hmm. Like on 3rd and 2, throw deep to Moss if they're playing that tight on everybody. But I mean, they did have a blitz and stuff, but it's really hard for me to believe.
You know, being a Cowboys fan, the switcher did this to us. We had like 4th down at the 25, and he went for it twice. Like he didn't get it off before the 2-minute warning, and then he went for it again. Like
you
had a long time to think about it, and you really just feel like your coach is betting against your team. It's a sinking feeling. But
here's the thing: if you punt it, then they have the ball on the 30 with 2 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like there's not even a consideration. You have to punt it. There's no counter argument. Like I watched his press conference last night. God bless him. He went 3 Super Bowls for us. But you know, I thought we could get the 2 yards. That's not an acceptable explanation.
No.
You play the percentages.
You could probably most of the time get the 2 yards. It's still not a smart.
It's not a sure thing.
You know, Manning, like you said, like all right, he took them down in the last drive, but he benefited off of a questionable pass interference goal. He wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire. He had a couple of picks. You know, there were a lot of drop balls in there, a lot of incompletes, and he was getting pressured. So it's not a gimme if he's starting from his 30-yard line to bring them downfield to score.
Yeah, he has the history of coming back, but he wasn't having a particularly good game, nor were his receivers, except for Reggie Wayne.
Right.
I mean, his receivers, Adai, Garcon, and Colley, had let him down a bunch of times in that game, and we had taken out Dallas Clark.
Yep.
So, you know, the other thing is, all right, so it's 4th and 2. What are the bad things that can happen? Either you get a bad spot, you get a drop, you get a pass interference that they don't call and, you know, whatever, or you get deflection. But there are things that could happen that could screw that up. I don't care if you think you have the perfect play. I just think you have to make them go 70 yards. And if you don't, then the flip side is this. Then let them score immediately.
Yeah.
You know, let a guy run in the end zone in the first play and then get the ball back and go down and score a field goal.
Exactly. Like, do to them what you were worried about.
To be so brazen and to just say, well, we thought they were going to score anyway if we don't get it, then let them score. Let them run down and score with 1.5 minutes left.
Have you seen any of the Patriots defensive players, like Butler or Guyton or Mayo, the guys played their heart out? And, did they respond to that? They probably came to his defense, but you can't feel too good playing defense for this guy if he's not going to trust you like that.
Well, the question is, did he not trust the defense? Or was he just so confident that they should be able to have two cracks to get 2 yards and deliver on one of those 2 cracks? It seems like that was the issue, right? Like he just felt like, all right, the odds are we will be able to get 2 yards on one of these 2 plays.
Yeah. But after seeing the one that really could have been returned for 6, that would have scared me enough beyond the fact that the percentages and everything else say that you should punt that ball.
And we were not getting calls that whole game.
Yeah.
Is the other part that needs to be remembered is that, you know, in a 4th and 2, they're going to not call the pass interference in the Colts because that's just not the way the game was called.
Right.
But let's not, you know, as bad as a Belichick move was, and I think as bad as the clock management was and as bad as everything was that last 5 minutes, let's not leave out Lawrence Maroney out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Who fumbled on the 1-yard line because he was holding the ball with one hand on a play that if they punch it in there, the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's history. You know, I think the Colts at that point are folding up shop, and all that did was give them life. And I know, you know, whatever, they punted, Welker got the punt return, and then ended up coming down and scoring about 6-7 minutes later anyway. But that he was terrible the whole game. He's the weak point of the team. And the bottom line is they can't protect 13-point leads because they can't run the ball.
Yeah, that's true. And you're splitting carries there. Like a guy like Maroney and Fogg, like they're going to get 6 or 7 carries each.
Yeah.
Pass-heavy offense. And I don't know. To me, it seems like they should hold on to the ball. They should be dying to hold on to that ball with such an easy workload. But you can't just keep giving the Colts a glimmer of hope. And they're going to be in the game with 3 minutes left.
It was a disgrace. The whole thing was awful. I think it was one of the 5 worst losses in my history as a Patriot fan. I was almost like I wasn't even mad after. I was in shock.
Yeah.
Like I just felt, I was like, what just happened? We dominated that game. We should have scored 60 points. How do we, it was almost like, is that going to count as a loss in the standings?
Right.
All due respect to the Colts, though. They just kind of sat around and they waited to steal it and they stole it.
Yeah, they did. But a big picture, and you have to look big picture because, you know, my Cowboys, same thing. I'm not going to get crazy about the Cowboys loss, the team that gave up 76 points in 2 weeks and then shut us out basically the whole game. But that's why you have to look big picture in this league. And you're going to, all right, so if you're going to have a home game, and you can win in Indy. You can win, and you can win big in Indy. So.
Yeah, I don't think home field matters.
Yeah, with your team it doesn't. You get on the carpet, you can run it up. You're fine. So
Now
Belichick's going to have everything to prove. So look out. It's going to be a nightmare for the last quarter of the season for these teams.
Yeah, Maroney was 13 carries for 31 yards and a fumble. Falk had a really good game running the ball, but it was mostly because it was a lot of like those sneaky draws when it looked like we were going to pass, stuff like that.
Right.
Not a way you're going to win. In January. I also think it's funny that the two flaws of, or the one flaw of the Patriots is also the one strength of the Colts, where it doesn't feel like we're designed to really protect those leads in the fourth quarter.
No.
And yet that Colts team is designed to play from behind because they can't really defend the pass that well, but they're good when, you know, they're down 13, they know the other team's going to run and they can bring everybody up and do those blitzes and stuff. They can get the ball back. And then Manning, you know, is now the best last 5 minutes of the game guy.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's a hard, your offense is difficult to figure out a way to run clock towards the end. That's for sure.
But. We've seen him do it too many times now. And he, you know, once they got the ball back, would you have bet your life that the Colts were going to score 34-28?
Yeah, sure, from the 28. Yeah, like you said, the only question was, are they going to score too soon and give your team a chance to come back? But yeah.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but our friend Hench has gone insane over this game and is now sending the emails about how Belichick was always overrated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did get that one, yeah.
He makes a strong point that for a defensive genius, he hasn't. Our defense hasn't had a big stop in 5 years.
Yeah.
At the end of a game, somehow we never get a stop. It's the team always scores or something bad happens.
I was thinking that, too. This defensive genius has no confidence in his defense right now. He's like...
We never have that brainstorm blitz.
Yeah.
Any of that stuff. You know, the Patriots in the last... So the 2006 AFC Championship game that was played in 2007 but in Indianapolis, a phenomenal collapse. Like really one of the biggest collapses, I think, in football history for a team that the game was over and the Colts ended up winning.
Right.
Super Bowl 42, you know, the Giants had to go 80 yards to win the game in 2 minutes and had scored 10 points the whole game and somehow rolled down the field and scored.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a bad one. Did you get the idea, like, maybe he's just bored? Maybe these guys become bored and, like, he's just, like, I don't know. Like he's done everything, and like he's like a powerful king. It just like roams around. It's like let's say I've won Super Bowls. I've done this. Let me go on 4th and 2. Let me do something that hasn't been done. Let me run a play with 4 seconds left, and then kick a field goal before the half. Like,
well, I'm gonna attempt to defend the indefensible. Here's the only thing I can think of that would defend why he did what he did. I don't think home field advantage matters in this playoffs, and the Patriots are going to win the division by 3 games.
Yeah.
So they're going to be a 3 seed or 4 seed, whatever, probably a 3 seed, which means that they're not going to see the Colts until the AFC Championship game anyway, and they can win in Indianapolis.
Right.
So in his mind, in his crazed mind, he obviously felt like if he had gotten that 4th and 2, and it would have been such an FU move, you know, not one to do that and then two to do that on the road and they get it and they win the game that way. Then that swings the AFC in his mind. Whereas if they punted and the Colts roll down, then nothing is solved and we're back to square one.
That's interesting.
I guess that's what he's thinking. With that said, it's a stupid move. It's like you're playing Texas Hold'em and you go in on a 6 and a 9 because you feel like you might get the flush draw. Like, it's just you don't do it.
Yeah. You want the Colts to come to New England. Right? Manning's embarrassed himself time after time in late January, and that's what you should be shooting for.
Yeah, you want a team that cannot run the ball to play outdoors in January. Not that we can run the ball either, but at least I think that's a bigger disadvantage to the Colts than – you know, maybe us playing in Indy, but
right.
I'll tell you how I feel. I feel like I can't trust this Patriots team anymore. I feel like I've been burned. They hurt me. Yeah. It hurt me, Sal.
I know, but I was trying to talk you off the ledge last night. Like, this is all Belichick. This team's got everything, you know. If he's just screwing around a little bit, and in 4 weeks, in 5 or 6 weeks, you're going to be just where you want to be, I think. You could win anywhere. I hate building your team up, but I also don't want to see you kill yourself.
No, I'm not. It's one of those things. I'm just not going to trust them anymore. Where, you know, it's the season's going to go along. And they have betrayed my trust and the trust of every other Patriot fan. And, you know, even if they go on a 10-game winning streak, I'm still going to have that seed of doubt. Whereas through three quarters last night, I'm thinking, this is the best team in football. We're back. I called my dad. I had the we're back conversation. We're back. Order has been restored.
When did you call?
Sending emails. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Halftime?
I called my dad after we scored to make it 31-14.
Yeah, God, that's really when it seemed over. That really, I put the kids to bed then too and looked away for a few minutes. That was really it.
I'm going to read you an email that I sent to my friends Will and Kevin, who were at the game. Mm. Oh, I just sent them an email with the subject heading, "Order has been restored."
Oh, no.
And then at 8:33, when it was all of a sudden 34-28, I sent another email that said, "I blame myself."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of jinxing going on.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how I bounce back. I mean, I guess I just watch the Super Bowl videos maybe and try to regroup that way. But
well, you bounce back with the Jets at home, a team that you owe anyway. And
yeah, it's probably
Belichick's going to be hell-bent on running up the score. So.
Have you in your life as a sports fan ever seen the dynamic of a rivalry switch this quickly? Where the Pats were the hammer and the Colts were the nail, mm-hmm. pretty much up until that 2006 AFC Championship game.
Right.
And then the dynamic switched during that game, and now it's been a complete role reversal of now we're the team that screws up. Now they're the team that lucks into these wins and takes care of business the last 5 minutes, and you can't let them hang around. And maybe they don't have more talent, but they have more heart. It's been a total role reversal. It's amazing.
It is very strange. But I'll say this, and this is just from Vegas perspective, that an undefeated team is a point and a half favorite when the game goes off at home. Is,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of respect for the Patriots, who obviously outplayed the Colts anyway. And I really think if this game is played in, you know, late January again, I don't think the spread's much different. I think people will expect the Pats to win.
Well, but their secondary was totally banged up. That's why we should have won yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know if that's getting better anytime soon.
Well, the Sanders is out, but I think the other guys could be back. But, man, you know, you watch that. They had that one angle of that play when we threw it deep to Moss.
Mm-hmm.
When they kind of put him in motion and just sent him right at the safety. It just seemed like we could have done that every drive.
Yeah.
How are they going to stop that play?
Yeah, it really did.
It didn't seem like they had any chance of stopping us ever when we threw the ball.
Yeah.
But, all right.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be all right.
I'm really upset.
Maybe I'll let you win this week picking the games. Maybe I'll
I did at least look at the matchups this week to start thinking about them, but I'm pretty rattled.
Okay.
I'm almost ready to move over to the Celtics where every guy in the Celtics is past his prime except for Rajon Rondo. So I have that to look forward to.
Right.
Also, I have to look forward to Hench is maybe I block Hench. Hench is working me to a lather. He sent an email about how the decade is over, we had our run, and now it's back to being Loserville again. That's his email yesterday.
What are you going to win? Are you going to win fewer than 12 games? Are you going to play Jacksonville in the first round? You're going to demolish them, and then you're going to be right there. This is crazy talk. This is really nuts.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And meanwhile, I'm just focused on beating you with a Subway sandwich. If we're tied 5-5 after 10 weeks.
Oh, I have one more thing to announce.
Go ahead.
Bill Belichick owes me a remote control.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you throw it against?
I threw it against the cabinet that's to the right of the TV.
Wow.
And it was a good one. I mean, it was one of those throws that you knew immediately there was no coming back for the remote control.
Wow.
It gets splintered, like those, you know, those little two eye things that are on the top, the sensor things? Gone.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, I wish we could review that in a replay, but we don't have enough timeouts.
It actually would have been a really interesting YouTube clip if there was a camera in my living room during the last 5 minutes of that game.
You should have one on you. We tried.
And I'm older now.
During the Aaron Boone game in 2000.
Yeah. Well, I left before the homer, though.
That didn't go well. Yeah, you left. I thought you left the state. Yeah.
I would tell you that if last night's game had happened when I was in my mid-20s, I don't know what the hell would have happened. I really don't. I think I would have just driven around and eventually just started careening into cars.
Yeah, the kids are good because you don't want to scream too much, and then they grow up to think daddy's a maniac. So they keep you grounded on that level.
Well, I think like if this had happened to the Cowboys and you haven't won a Super Bowl in a lot longer than I have, I think you handle this a lot worse than I did.
I think I probably do, although I'm numb. We have 5 or 6 of these in the last 3 years.
We had the Romo botched PAT, which will never be topped, or whatever that was.
That's bad.
All right, let's do the lines.
All right, here we go. Miami at Carolina, Thursday game. I don't want to depress you further, but I hit this one on the head. So.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hit this one on the head, too. I think this is a 3.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Who's favored?
Panthers.
Okay, you got it.
That looks like a solid. And you know what? I haven't looked at the standings, but what happens if they win this game? We haven't gotten rid of them yet, right, from the playoff picture?
They're 4-5, and it seems like the Cowboys, Eagles, and Falcons keep losing. You know, they're going to be right up there for a wild card spot.
Yeah, hold on. I'm clicking the standings.
Both these teams are 4-5, right?
Yeah, 4-5. Green Bay's 5-4. Philly, Giants 5-4, Green Bay 5-4, Atlanta 5-4, Carolina 4-5, San Francisco.
I mean, they have work to do, but it could be a 9-7 team getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, we no longer know who is the 6th playoff seed, whereas last week it seemed pretty certain.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Giants, who I feel like are completely out of this, are 5-4 and in the catbird seat right now.
Yeah.
All they have to do is just get hot. All right, go ahead.
All right, so we tie that. Pittsburgh at Kansas City, Sunday. But I'm going to warn you, I like about 6 teams in a 3-teamer this week, and we're going to do them all.
We have a chance to win tonight if Baltimore comes through.
That's right.
We should get that sponsored. The 3-team tees we promise not to do anymore.
We had the Dolphins,
the
Patriots, which was never in jeopardy, plus at the time we'd had it, it was plus 12.
The Dolphins were in a lot of jeopardy.
Which one?
The Dolphins.
We were in a lot, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely backed into that one.
I don't get that Tampa team, but...
The other one, we should also mention that we parlayed Manny Pacquiao, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
With Denver Broncos, which looked, we're up 14-7, looks like it's going our way. And then all of a sudden Kyle Orton's lipping off, and we have the obligatory, well, who's their backup? I think it's Chris Sims. Well, he's okay. He's been a starter before. And he came out and laid one of the bigger eggs that anybody has laid this season.
Yeah, it's very sad because you and I, we finally won a fight we bet on together. I mean, we hadn't won one since Gotti Ward 2 or something.
Yeah.
and we come out, we win, convincing. We were excited about it. We were completely set up for a letdown, and Pacquiao wins. And then I had a parlay with Pittsburgh as well, another loser, but we both went in on Denver. And I don't know. That's the one thing about watching with, 20 guys and having 4 screens, I didn't know Orton wasn't going to come back. I don't think.
Yeah, because at halftime we could have done a little hedge.
Halftime the spread was even, so we could have gotten out of that. But what a mess.
Yeah, it was a mess, and it was one of those messes where we kind of knew how it was going to play out once we saw a couple Chris Sims passes.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Haynesworth goes out. It's a tie game. They're on the Washington the 40. Haynesworth limps off, not to be seen again. They have all the momentum, and the next play is some sort of goofy play action where Chris Sims ends up throwing it. To say that this was a duck is an understatement. Yeah. It was about 15 yards short, and 3 guys were waiting for it, and yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it was bad news. I should collect the sarcastic texts and emails we send each other. When we were thinking about the Denver parlay with Pacquiao, I said to you, I was like, I don't know, Rock Cartwright scares the crap out of me.
Then it turned out to be Liddell Betts.
Yeah, right. Just set ourselves up. All right, so Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
I have 11.5 Steelers.
All right, I had 9, and it's 9.5.
Wow.
So that's a 3-teamer right there.
The Chiefs aren't good, though.
Chiefs haven't been home in 4 weeks or so, week 7. Was
you know what? The underdogs have been covering the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of lines that were just too high.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe now things are settling. But we'll see. Let's go.
All right, Washington at Dallas. I don't know what to think. You know, it's funny because I was like, ah, this Green Bay game is gravy. And then, like, four guys end up getting hurt, and our offense looks terrible. So, now I'm mad again.
Well, I'm gonna say this is a 10. Cowboys by 10.
All right. I said 11.5, and it's 11, so I get that, too. Here we go.
All right. So, but the Redskins aren't as – so they're saying the Cowboys are better than the Steelers? Because the Redskins and Chiefs, I think the Redskins are even slightly better than the Chiefs.
The Redskins should be, but yeah, they have 3 wins. Yeah.
That line should be under 10. All right.
I think Dallas hadn't lost, it would have been closer.
Yeah.
Cleveland at Detroit.
All right, so we're going to count this one. Wait, is there a line? Because
they have a line
game
on
play.
It. Yeah, they do.
All right, well, we know that the Browns suck.
Yeah, well, let's assume they get beat pretty good by the Ravens tonight.
Lions by 3.5.
Yeah, that's what I said, but it's only 2.5.
Oh.
But no matter what happens to the Lions this year, you say what you will, but they've been favored twice to win, and they should be very proud. They'll probably end up losing both. But.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Atlanta at the Giants.
Mm. Michael Turner with the sprained ankle might play, might not play, up in the air.
They're saying something like this could be a couple of weeks. Ooh. Giants had a bye.
Yeah.
Bad times for one of these teams. Sunday at 4:30, I think.
I'm going to say that the Turner line bumps us to the Vegas zone. Giants 4.5.
No, I said 6.5. It's 6. So.
All right.
They're really counting that bye in there, I guess. All right. So I'm
apparently
up 5-2, including the tie.
Oh, my God.
Buffalo at Jacksonville. T.O. is acting up again, it looks like.
Apparently. I got Jags by 7.5.
Jags by 7.5. All right, you get this. I said 7, and it's 8.
Hmm.
So you got that one. San Fran at Green Bay.
Ooh. I got to say, the Niners' offense, I don't see them putting up even 10 points. I mean, your offense was bad in Green Bay, and I think this is even going to be worse.
Yeah, so I'm going to say. I don't know what happened to Green Bay's defense. It's just they get fired up. They rallied behind Campman's concussion. They played like Pro Bowlers, all of them. But yeah, I don't trust San Fran on the road.
Packers by 5.5.
You get this. It's 6.5. I said 4.
Okay.
So it is now 5-4 me.
Here I come.
All right. Indy at Baltimore.
Oh.
I'm not going to say too much about this, but.
This is the one I stared the longest at as I was looking at the matchups. Because I think. Now Manning just gets the respect. But it's either a 2.5-point favorite respect or a 3-point favorite respect. I'm going to say Colts by 2.5.
All right. I said 4, and it's a pick. Again, the undefeated team is now a pick and a 1.5-point favorite in the last 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, their secondary looked awful. I mean, Joe Flacco, they should have a huge week next week throwing the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I let them lose first before you make them a pick.
Somebody, for the love of God, beat the Colts. I mean, really, this is...
Yeah.
With that secondary, they should not be undefeated. It's embarrassing.
All right, 5-5, Seattle and Minnesota.
I think I've said the word embarrassing 10 times during this podcast. I'm going to pick a new word. What is this
Seattle
one?
Seattle and Minnesota.
Oh.
Minnesota seemed to have, like, an easy schedule for a team that won their division last year.
Yeah.
Really. Seattle, Rams, Detroit twice. I know they have to play, but.
You know, I would have said 12, but you rarely see the 12-point line, so I'm going to say Vikings by 11.5.
Yeah, you get this. It's 11. I said 13. I thought it would be a little higher.
Why aren't there ever 12-point lines?
They could have 12. In college, they have 12. It's like the $2 bill of the NFL lines.
So I just took the lead.
Yep, you're winning. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
Oh, boy. This was a tough one.
This is tough.
Because, yeah.
No matter what, we're betting the Saints in the first half, so we don't have to worry about incurring the wrath of Josh Freeman.
So, yeah, that's true. I'm going to say Saints by 13.
All right, you get this. It's 11. I said 15.5. I thought...
11. I think Vegas is tired of watching the Saints have trouble covering these high lines.
But so remember my three-team. Oh, we're going to get so slaughtered on the three-team. But Pittsburgh.
I can't wait.
New Orleans just to win. Minnesota just to win.
Oh, it's going to be great. Who's going to screw us?
Dallas just to win. All right, we're in the late afternoon game. Arizona at St. Louis.
I like this Cards team.
This is another
I thought that was a nice win by them yesterday. You know, they had every reason to just seem like a typical Kurt Warner five turnover game coming, and instead it went the other way. I'm going to say Cards by 9.
Yeah, you get it. It's 8.5. I said 11.
Ooh, what a comeback by me here.
Now it's 8-5. I will say I picked two of the next five exactly.
I've won 6 in a row.
Yeah. All right, Jets at Jets at Patriots.
Oh. Rob Ryan. Is it Rob Ryan or Rex Ryan? Rex Ryan.
Rex. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems a little foolish, all the talking he did in September.
This is a disaster for the Jets. I mean, even like Belichick could be hypnotized into thinking Mangini's still coaching them, and this is going to be, they're 52-6, and they're going to be passing.
Don't try to talk me into bumping this pick high.
Go ahead. What do you think?
I'm going to say, oh, man, I can't decide if double or not. I'm going to just gonna say Pats by 10.
It's 10.5. I said 12.
Oh.
So you get that.
I'm almost clinching here.
Hold on. Do I have to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2.
By the way, don't let me throw the Pats in the three-team tees because I don't really want to get to the point where I start hating this team.
That's easy.
I can't put them in a tease because if they screw me over on a tease the week after that Colts debacle, I don't know what I'm capable of.
Oh, they can't lose that game. San Diego at Denver.
You know what? I'm gonna predict that I nail this exactly.
I don't know why there's a line on this. I guess they're assuming
Orton Kyle Orton
playing. Oh. I don't know, but there
well,
is
he
a
only
line.
Like tweaked his ankle. I mean, he should be fine.
Yeah.
Chargers by 3.
Yep, that's what I had, and it's 2.5. So we get it. I think you're gonna win this week.
Thank you.
Cincinnati at Oakland. This is the one I hit exactly.
Congratulations.
Listen, I have a worse problem with this game. You're going to think I'm crazy. I like this as the upset.
I'm going to hit this exactly, too.
Good.
Bengals by 8.5.
Yeah, it's 9.
Oh.
Very close. It's so stupid that we react to this. I like them. I like the Raiders. I can't believe in the Bengals any week.
How can you like the Raiders after that poop they took last night?
I think they played 2 tough games at home a year, and I think this is one of them.
Yeah, the Bengals, you know, they got to be just feeling fantastic about themselves after those 2 games.
I have to stop watching Hard Knocks. I think that's the problem. I watch it every night. All right, Philly at Chicago, Sunday night.
A must-win game for the Eagles, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This has all the makings of a 20-point Eagles win and a lot of booing in the second half.
Belichick bailed Andy Reid out, by the way. I mean, he was awful yesterday.
He was awful, and then Andy can't read the 2-point conversion chart, apparently.
Oh, that's good. I like
Thank
that.
You. Yeah, I wrote that ahead of time for this. down 13, fourth quarter, kicks the PAT.
He was a mess with the kicking field goals, and San Diego's coming down scoring. Like they had goal to go twice, and then fourth and one, and they still kick. I don't get that guy.
You know, I wrote that
coaches
speed.
Might just be losing it. You ever think of that?
Like, well, I like 2.5 years ago, I wrote the whole speed limit corollary article about your boy Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
That's right. Yeah.
And I said once they turn 55, evidence states that they start to lose their marbles.
Yeah.
And Belichick turned 55 2 years ago, and now we're going for it on 4th and 2 on our own 28.
That makes a lot of sense.
Andy Reid is like Dennis Hopper and Hoosiers at this point. Like, he's just take the tip clip cord away from him and take the flask away.
It's awful.
Eagles by 3 over the Bears.
Wow, you hit that exactly. I said 2.5.
Thank you.
What a jerk. All right, and it doesn't matter, but Tennessee at Houston.
Oh, ironically, the one that I had the most trouble with as I looked at these.
Really?
Yeah, because Tennessee is 3-6, but you can't really look at them like a 3-6 team, I don't think.
Chris Johnson's like getting to be one of those players you just don't want to bet against, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes, he is in that Barry Sanders more. The Barry Sanders was the captain of that list. Just could. I never bet against the Lions after like 1992. I just couldn't take it anymore because he just single handedly
one play turns it around. But this is a much better game than it was a month ago.
Totally. I'm going to say Texans by 4.5.
It's 4, but. Congratulations, you won anyway. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 3. You have 11, I have 8.
A 6-5
there
lead.
You go. There you go. I let you win. Now you feel better about yourself?
I don't. I don't. I feel like, yeah, I feel like I was violated last night. And you know,
it's going to be okay, Bill. I'm telling you.
You know what would make it more fun is if I could work up. Peyton Manning's got to say something or do anything that will make me mad. Because now, as I wrote on Friday, I'm just in that respect mode for him. Like, yeah, the guy's just good. What can you say?
Yeah.
He needs to do something like make some sort of pompous comment about how he's clearly number one and Brady's number two now or something that will get me riled up again.
Yeah. He doesn't usually do that kind of thing.
Because look at the Colts now. They have, you know, they just bang it out. They're classy. Their coach, unclear if he can even communicate.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, like, maybe it is better. Like, if you had blown out the Colts, like you were well on your way to blowing them out.
Yeah.
Then it's like, it doesn't leave anything for the playoffs. There's a lot of, I was thinking that with Pacquiao, too. I'm like, oh, if he knocks Cotto out here, Mayweather's really not going to want to fight him, you know? Like, maybe he needs to play possum a little. And maybe the Pats are playing a little possum. It could be it.
It sounds like a giant rationalization.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, the good news is that Pacquiao is the first fighter since Tyson that now I will pay-per-view all of his fights. I think he's moved into that level for me.
He is great, right?
Even if he fights some schmo and I know it's a waste of $49, I'm still getting it.
Did I tell you my story with him when he was on our show, Jimmy Kimmel Live?
No.
Weeks ago. And Guillermo wanted to meet him. He's an on-air personality, also our parking lot security guard. And I was like, all right, let's go back there. And one of their handlers knew us, so they let us back. And I go to meet him, and I had a dollar, and I gave him a dollar. I put it in his hand, and I'm like, this is not your fight, man. This is not your fight. You know, like, you know, pretending to ask him to take a dive. And his handlers and the other guys around him were laughing, and he had no idea what I was saying.
Oh, no.
And he gave the dollar back, which is a good sign. So that's
what that's funny.
We're in good shape.
I will say another strength of the Pacquiao pay-per-view order, if mm-hmm. you're factoring in, like, is it worth it for me to spend $50 on really the best boxer, the guy that hits all the check marks in all the categories, the best guy we've seen since Young Tyson, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen guys like of that Mayweather, Roy Jones class, the guys that are just technically great, but they're not that fun to watch and they don't have the power. Mm-hmm. This guy literally can do every single thing you'd want from a boxer. And he takes hits, he doesn't seem to get hurt. I've never, you know, you really have to go back to Young Tyson. Just seems to size these guys up and then demolish them. But other best thing about his pay-per-views are the Philippines national anthem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those national anthems. There are like six of them leading up to it.
But the Philippine national anthem is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could release that song as a song.
Yeah.
I would put that number two for me. Actually, number three behind O Canada and Nikolai Volkov making everyone stand for the Russian anthem. This is number three for me.
Your workout iPod. It really is good. It's catchy tune. And I like Pacquiao, like, smiles on his way to the ring. Have you ever seen that in a boxer? He's, like, really having a good time. Like, I didn't know how to take that. I'm like, oh, God, what's going on here? He's, like, laughing. He's like,
well, because he knows he's a physical freak.
Yeah.
Cotto, there were times when Cotto saw the opening and was like, I'm just going to punch him right in the mouth. And then Pacquiao was hitting him as he was preparing. You know, he was just twice as fast as him.
Yep. Great counter, hits at all different angles. Great.
Fantastic. I just love the guy, and I enjoyed that fight so much. I felt bad for Cotto, though, because I do think now he has taken a lot of punishment now in three fights and will not be the same.
I think Cotto's good. In fact, I thought, like, he just say in the post-fight interview, like, look, I'm a really good fighter. Trust me, I am.
Yeah.
My other fights, but this guy's the best in the world. What are you going to do?
Yeah, because after round two, you know, I was a little worried, and I'm thinking maybe he has too much size. And then the fight shifted. I think it was the third round when Pac-Man went on the ropes for the first time, and the announcers got all fired up. But then it became clear that he just wanted Cotto to punch himself out a little.
Right.
And then he just kind of flipped him around and beat the crap out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know, he's on a different level. The way he thinks is almost like chess.
He's solid.
I'm going to let this guy do this. He'll get it out, and then I'm going to do this. But it was something. I just think, and to also go from 106 to 145 is mildly incredible.
It's amazing. I saw him 5 years ago when I went to Vegas to see him, and, you know, he's stuck in those trilogies of, like, Eric Morales, and there was this, he's better at this weight, and he's faster somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, and when you look at the before-after pictures of him, what he looked like however many years ago and now, like, it does seem like it's just gradual evolution of his body filled out. But it doesn't seem, you know, that certainly doesn't seem like he's doing anything illegal.
Right, right.
Just all muscle in his chest. Man, he's something.
All right, Cousin Sal. I got to run, but Jimmy Kimmel Live is John Stamos, 50 Cent, Marv Albert, Heidi and Spencer, and the Twilight people.
Oh, no. When are Heidi and Spencer on?
I think Thursday. You going to come by?
Can you hire the guys that took out Nancy Kerrigan?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's a great idea, isn't it?
I'd like to pillow fight one or both of them. I'm going
to say do something to Spencer. Really, I know you have a wife and a kids now, but Spencer deserves the Sal treatment, I think.
I hear you.
At least hit him with a shaving cream pie like AJ Burnett.
Exactly.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, buddy. Thanks.
Target the sun off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
You laughed. You cried. You turned up the sound repeatedly, and now it's all over. Thus concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all this talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just breaking news. The $5 footlong anthem rolls on with Subway Everyday Value. So many of your Subway favorites are $5 footlongs, like the Tastetacular Spicy Italian $5 footlong and the Pile Ridiculously High BLT $5 footlong, both made to your order on the freshly baked bread of your choice.